Today's scripture reading will be coming from 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
I'd say good morning to everyone. It's good to be here as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. If you are visiting with us, we want to let you know you are indeed our honored guests. And we're thankful for you being here, and we hope, pray, and trust that you will come back at your earliest convenience. Fellowship. Been looking forward to this particular lesson all week. The reason why is because I truly believe, after studying this particular text and this sermon for this week, that it is probably one of the most important subjects in the Bible. The reason why I say that is because if we're truly going to have fellowship with God, we have to meet him on his conditions. We have to meet God where he is. When we consider this great subject of fellowship, I often think about a great coach and how when a great coach wants the best players, he'll have tryouts. See, the team has already been formed. And the reason why the team has already been formed, because he and his coaching staff are the team. He's just ready to add players. And everybody must meet the credentials, the criterion, if you will, in order to be part of that team. And those who make the team are part of that team. They have to be people who are disciplined, those who have bought into the ideology of the coach, those who are not going to be people who are going to bring attention to themselves, rather to the team. Well, I think when I think about Christianity already had a team. It's called the Godhead. When we consider the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they're already one. They're already that divine nature, if you will. It's like it unto a good business. A good business, especially the owners of that business, only want people that are going to promote their business. They don't want people inside of the business trying to run a business inside of their business. That's not good for business. That's pretty good, right? So when we stop and we consider the fellowship of God, I want us to consider this great text right here, because God wants people who have a desire to be on his team, people who have a desire to be part of his family. And as the church of Christ, as the people of God, we are part of the family of God. Every last one of us, those who have been baptized into Christ, those who are members of the Lord's church, you are part of this great family, part of this great fellowship. But I want us to consider some things. Three questions. Number one, what is fellowship? Number two, why should we fellowship? And number three, how do we fellowship? Number one, when we consider what is fellowship? Fellowship, when we consider what John said in 1 John chapter 1, and I'm thankful for the reading of the scripture. As we turn our attention back there, I want us to notice some things concerning fellowship. And friends, I could go to the Strong's Dictionary and look up these words and have. But I believe if anybody's going to give us a great definition of what fellowship is, it ought to be the one who desires the fellowship. It ought to be the one who established the fellowship. It ought to be the one who desires to have fellowship with mankind, i.e. the church. In 1 John chapter 1, as we take our time and develop these thoughts, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, notice the language here, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, meaning revealed, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Friends, he's talking about Jesus Christ. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Now notice what he says. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Why? That ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now notice, friends, the apostle John is saying that we have fellowship with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We as the apostles of Jesus Christ, the apostles of the Lord, have fellowship with the Father and with his Son. And we're writing these things to you that you may experience the same joy that we have. But then notice verse 5. This then is the message. I like the New King James Version where it says, this is the message. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. Here it is. This is the message. This is the message that the apostles received from God himself. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. Friends, I set forth the record, and we set the record straight to this morning, that fellowship is God being light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Notice what he says. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, notice, we lie and do not the truth. Now, friends, the reason why we can set the record straight that fellowship is to walk in the light, because God is light. Because to walk opposite is to walk out of fellowship with God. Or we can go to the Vines, we can go to the Strong's Dictionary and get those other definitions of having communion, being partakers, being joint participators with God or with his people. But friends, the Bible sets the record straight, and it sets the record straight very clear that to have fellowship is to be with God. And the message is God is light. Notice what he says. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, literally in the Greek, as he himself is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Friends, what is fellowship? When we consider fellowship, turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25, and notice these great words. And the reason why I wanted to bring these passages out, friends, is because sometimes we have the idea that fellowship is getting together and having a good meal. Well, that's fine. Fellowship is getting together and playing a little hoop. That's fine, too. Fellowship is getting together and doing whatsoever, whatever it is. But friends, true fellowship is walking in light. Why? Because God himself is light. But notice the synonym, if you will. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, to be contextually sound, we want to consider the background. Why is Paul saying this? Because you have these Judaizing teachers that came in, and they were trying to subject the children of God, members of the Lord's church, under the Mosaic system. And he said, no, no, no. You're not under the Mosaic system, to be contextually sound. You're under the Spirit, the Spirit's teaching. It was the Spirit that came forth on the day of Pentecost, and as the Spirit baptized the apostles, and they began to speak in tongues, they brought forth a message. Now, notice what he goes on to say. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that they cannot do the things that they would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not of the law. That's why I said what I said earlier. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, meaning they're evident. They're easily seen. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which is unchaste handling of males and females. It's dancing, if you will. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, which are drinking parties, and the like, which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because those things are works of darkness. But the fruit of the Spirit, now notice, a correlate, meaning that which is on the same equal ground as God being light. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, friends, let us stop real quick and let's ponder these. To walk in the light is to walk according to the Spirit. To walk in the light is to be a people whose mindset is about love and joy and long-suffering, gentleness and meekness and faith and temperance. Friends, if I am walking in the light, if I'm walking according to the Spirit, I am then in fellowship with God. Some are under the impression in the world that we live in today that one can walk according to the flesh and still be in fellowship with God. One cannot walk according to the flesh and be in fellowship with God because God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. My job as a gospel teacher and preacher is to hold the lamp of the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ so high that you have to come up to it. And the reason why is because God has already did His part by bringing salvation down to man by the man Jesus Christ. And He did that to show us how to live. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. Here we'll find another correlate, if you will. That which is of equal value. In 2 Peter chapter 1, notice this chain of reasoning. Here we understand that to walk in the light is to walk with God. To walk in the Spirit is to walk with God. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse number 1, notice what your Bible here has to say. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtain like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied. Oh, I wish I had time to preach that. You know, when you multiply something, it adds up faster. Wouldn't you want grace and peace to be multiplied in your life? I know I do. Through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ, our Lord. Friends, if grace and peace is going to be multiplied in my life, in your life, we have to go through the knowledge. How much time are you spending with the knowledge of God? According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How, Peter? Through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue. Hold on. Hold your finger there, right there, and I'm going to come right back there. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at verse number 9. Y'all go with me here. I promise you I'll be right where you need me to be about 12:30. Notice, He called us into something. But what did God call us into? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 9, notice, Paul, by inspiration, says, God is faithful. Literally, God is trustworthy. By whom you were what? Called. Called unto what, Paul? Unto the fellowship. The fellowship of what, Paul? Of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hold on. We're called by virtue and knowledge, but we're called unto the fellowship? Yes. We're called into this relationship with God the Father. Hold on. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. One cannot live in the darkness and say that I am with God. It cannot happen. I know we live in a world today that you got men like Joel Osteen, who is on television. I was watching his fake self this morning. I almost said something else. Sitting there flashing his eyes like he's some female and lying to the people. I'm not being mean, friends. That's the truth. He was lying. You can't be in fellowship with God and lie. It can't happen. We have to be a people who are called into the fellowship. Now go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's finish this thought. I'm not being mean. I'm being very serious about this. When we're in fellowship with God, that is a serious position in life. But sometimes we don't take it serious. Sometimes Mike Bonner doesn't take that serious, but I got to be reminded by the word of God, and the word of God convicts the hearts of men. It pricks us, and that's why it's called the sword of the Spirit. Notice, going back to this particular verse, in verse number 3, he called us to glory and virtue. That's moral excellence. But the glory, what's the glory? That's where God is. God has called us to where he is. He's called us to his position. He has called us to a moral, excellent life. And who doesn't want to live a moral, excellent life? Who wants a husband that's cheating on him? Who wants a wife that's not okay? Who wants children that are disobedient? Who wants to work for an owner who doesn't care about people? Nobody. We want to be a moral, excellent people. And that's what God has called us to. No wonder God has called us to be a great people. Verse 4, notice, as we continue this thought, what is fellowship? Whereby are given unto us, he's talking about us as Christians, exceeding great and precious promises. And one thing that God can't do, Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, he can't lie. God can't lie. If God says, I'm going to give you a promise, I'm going to come through with it. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Hold on. That's the same thing that John was saying in 1 John 1 and verse number 3 through 5. This is the message that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God has called us into his divine nature. Hold on, God. What are you saying unto us? I have called you to be with me. It's funny, friends. We try to identify with all types of things. We try to identify with some social groups. We try to identify with some athletic groups, or some racial groups. We're always trying to identify with something. Yet God says, I want you to identify with me. I have called you into this divine nature. I have called you into the light. I have called you into the gospel. I want fellowship with you. Wow. And because that is the case, God says, I want you to be a partaker with me. Which means that I need to leave everything else that doesn't identify with God alone. To leave, that's true fellowship. That's fellowship. I know we come up with all these different ideas and definitions, and this is why brethren are so out in left field sometimes. Well, there's nothing wrong with me fellowshipping with someone who is a Muslim because he serves the same God that I do. No, he doesn't. Ain't that right, Dennis? Not being mean, being honest. God wants us to be honest. And the only way that I can stay in fellowship with God, I have to be honest with God. And I have to be honest with myself. And I have to be honest with the Word. And notice what he goes on to say. That by these, you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence. Here it is, friends. This is the same language as 1 John 1:5 and Galatians 5:22-23. The exact same language. Giving all diligence. Make every single effort. Be focused. Add to your faith. That's your trust in God. Moral excellence. And to your moral excellence, knowledge. And to your knowledge, self-control. To your self-control, perseverance. Hang in there. And to your perseverance, piety, godliness. And to your godliness, brotherly kindness. And to your brotherly kindness, love. Now hold on. Hold on. Hold the phone. What movie was that? Shrek. Love that movie. Hold the phone. Notice if these things are in us. And notice if I walk in the light. And notice if I walk according to the Spirit. Notice verse number 8. For if these things be in you and they abound, meaning they grow. Are you growing? Are you more faithful today than you was yesterday? Do you have a desire to be in fellowship more with God than you was yesterday? Is your fellowship with God rich and deep and strong and lasting? Notice what he says. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off. I know, I see why some are going off the deep end and they're leaving Christianity and they just can't hang in there, friends. As the children of God, our fellowship with God causes us to hang in there. There's not a person on the face of the earth. Pope Joe, I love you, but I ain't going to hell for you. I love my wife. I ain't going to hell for her. Nor with her. What does that mean to us? Our fellowship with God is so important that we want to pass it down like the apostles did. We write these things unto you that your joy may be full. And sometimes our joy is not in God. Talk to yourself, Mike Bonner. I'm trying to. Sometimes I want joy in other things. I know y'all can raise your hands too at times. And we have to check ourselves. And then we need people who are in the fellowship with God to say, Brother Bonner, you need to get yourself together. I love you too much for you to be out there doing those things that you're doing. When those are in fellowship with God and they're walking according to the light and walking in the Spirit and adding to their faith and they love me enough to say something, then I'm going to fall in rank and fall in line with God as well. Why? I don't want to be lost. I want to be saved. But I want the abundant life. I want a good life. I want a prosperous life. I want a holy life. I want the life that God has promised us through Jesus Christ. Let's finish this. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence, make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. You'll never stumble. You'll never leave the Lord. You'll never leave his fellowship. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. He's not talking about the church, friends. He's talking about heaven. He's talking to people in the church. He's talking to people that are already saved. And friends, this is what we want. We want to be a people who are in fellowship with God. When we come to worship God, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we see something very powerful. Because in Acts chapter 2, we understand that the church just begun here. Oh, yes. We see that the Spirit is working through these men. They're teaching, they're preaching. And they're talking about Jesus Christ and how he is on the throne of David. How David is dead and buried and his tomb is still with us to this day. And he exalts Jesus Christ on his throne. And then in verse number 36, let the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do to get rid of this sin? What shall we do to come into this fellowship? What shall we do? Some of y'all are sleeping here, but that's fine. I couldn't go to sleep in this type of, this is good teaching right here. Look at what the Bible says. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. You want part of this fellowship? You need to have your sins washed away. You need to receive the gift of the Spirit. For the promise, what promise? The gift is to you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he, Peter, testify, exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward, this perverse generation, this generation that's out of fellowship with God. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Why were they baptized? Because they wanted to be in fellowship with God. And those of us who have been baptized into Christ are in fellowship with God. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continue steadfastly. Here it is. In the apostles' teaching. And what? Fellowship. Well, what is this fellowship? Well, what is this sharing, if you will? It has to have something to do with walking in the light. It has to have something to do with walking according to the Spirit. It has to have something to do of adding to your faith. Whatever it is, it's fellowship. Whatever it is those who are joining together and they're doing this because they're walking with God. And notice what he says. And in breaking of bread and in prayers. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, why do we fellowship? I don't have time to really develop this whole point. But I'm going to develop it to the best of my ability with the time that I have. Because I want to be respectful and allow y'all to go home and be thinking about some of these things. But notice verses 1 through 10. Paul is just so thankful because Jews and Gentiles have been brought together. Jesus, he says he's our peace. Chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. He broken down that middle wall of partition, meaning no more Jews on this side and Gentiles on this side. We're all one now. And Paul is ecstatic about that. He's encouraged about that. For this cause I, Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ, verse 1, for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the stewardship of the grace of God, the dispensation, the King James Version says, which is given to me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Hold on. Why should we fellowship? The same reason that Jews and Gentiles were fellowshipping. They were fellow heirs, meaning that they were sharers of the same inheritance. They were going to receive the same thing that Jews were going to receive. Eternal life, forgiveness of sins, all spiritual blessings. Hold on. We're fellow heirs. We're in fellowship like that. We're in this together. It makes more sense to me why the Apostle Paul is wanting the Corinthians to put some money aside for those brethren of the Judean relief now. Why? Those are your brothers over there, and they're going through a famine. They're going through a hard time. So we need to gather up as much as we can so we can help them out. Wow. Look at what he goes on to say in verse number 6. And of the same body. You look up that word body. According to Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18, the same church. You're the same church. You're the same body of Christ. Notice what he goes on to say. It gets even gooder and gooder. And partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Hold on. There are a few things that we see here. We see that they are in this fellowship because they're fellow heirs. They're in the same body. They're partakers of the same promise. In other words, they're partners. We're in this together. You come back tonight, and I'll tell you how. If you don't come back tonight, you got to listen to it online. But watch this. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. And then from there, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 23. But in Luke chapter 5, I want to give an illustration of what fellowship looks like. Wow. I can't believe this. I can't believe how vivid the Bible is. I was telling the teenagers, I'm like, isn't it amazing? We get to pack the mind of God around in our hands. But you just can't pack it. You got to open it up and read it. You can't put it under your pillow. Oh, I got that passage. It don't work that way. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So we got to read. We got to spend time in the mind of God. Now notice in Luke chapter 5, that's free. You ain't got to pay me for that. Look at verse number 9. You remember what was taking place? Jesus told his disciples in verse 4, launch your nets out into a deep for a catch. You remember what Simon says? We've been toiling all night. We ain't caught nothing. Nevertheless, that's your word. Verse number 9. For he was astonished because they was catching all of this fish and all that were with him at the drought of the fishes, which they had taken. And so was also James, John, the son of Zebedee. Here it is. Which were what, Pope Joy? Partners. The word partner there is the root word for koinonia. You know what we are in Christ? I see why the brothers sometimes say, that's my partner. That's my right-hand man. Y'all remember those back in the day? Okay, maybe you didn't. Okay, it's all right. Anyway, you know what a partner is? Come here, Scott. Let me show you what a partner is. Come here, Scott. Hurry up. I ain't got much time. He's sitting there looking at me. I said, come here. This is my partner right here. Where he go, I go. I said, man, let's where he go, I go. This is my partner. If I get in trouble, he's going to be there. He has my back. If he get in trouble, I have your back. Go ahead and sit down. You see the point? That's my partner. Hold on. Your wife ought to be your partner. In the Lord. Yeah, I ain't got time to preach that, Pope Joy, but leave that alone. Jesus is our partner. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians 8. Look at verse 23. Notice what Paul says about Titus. Notice what Paul says about Titus. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 23. Notice what your Bible says. Friends, all of us like partners. God has made us relational beings. I know that's for a fact because in the beginning, God said it's not good for man to be alone. A lot of times we look at that, he's talking about marriage. Marriage comes after that. He has made man to have a companion. He has just named all of the animals. I'm going to give him a companion, someone who is suitable for him, someone he can have a relationship with, someone who is his partner. We love partners. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 23. Notice what Paul says about Titus. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Turn to the book of Philemon. It's right after the book of Titus. Turn to the book of Philemon. Look at verse number 17. It's right after the book of Titus. Yes, there it is. Here, as Paul is, he's talking to Philemon by way of a letter, wanting him to accept Onesimus back. And he says to Philemon, hey, if you count me therefore as a what? A partner. You know what? Do you want to be in fellowship with God? You got to walk in the light. You got to walk according to the Spirit. You got to be adding to your faith every single day, every day. And friends, it's worth it. Let me tell you why it's worth it. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful for a few things. I make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Come on in here where I am. Why? Because all of that time, you have been very cognizant, very aware of your lifestyle. Those things that are works of darkness, you shunned them. You stayed away from them. When you found yourself making a misstep or a mistake, you confessed those things. You repented of those things. And I was faithful and just to forgive you, thus putting you in a position of fellowship with me. When one of your brothers or your sisters found you not walking in the light and they went and they corrected you, as Galatians 6 verse 1 and 2 says, you was humble enough to say, you know what? God is right. And I thank you for coming and correcting me. God is right. And sometimes when someone comes and corrects us, stop looking at the person that's correcting you and say, I thank God that this person loves me enough to represent God to come say something to me. Amen. Some of y'all looking funny, but that's fine. We don't like to be corrected. We're always right. Let me give you a news flash. No, you ain't. Bad English, but good understanding. I'm not always right. Sometimes Evelyn Bonner got to tell me that, Dennis. Sometimes she got to say, boy, you ain't right. She don't know what she's talking about. Then I go to my back room and like, boy, she was right. But I ain't going to tell her just yet. I'm going to let her simmer in this a little bit. Ain't that how we do it? That's how the brothers do it sometimes. We shouldn't. We should be humble enough to say, you know what? I want to be in fellowship with God. I want to be in fellowship with his people. I want to be in fellowship with the word. And I want to make sure that I'm walking in the light. You come back tonight, we'll talk about how. We'll talk about how. And friends, the Bible teaches us how. If anybody knows fellowship, it's not those false teachers who are outside of the church saying, this is what fellowship is. If I want to know what fellowship is, I'm going to go to the very mind of God. I'm going to go find out what it is. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to be part of this team. And it's just like any other team. If a coach says, hey, these are the criteria, you know, why my son didn't make your team? Because there were 11 other players better than him. Is there 12, Mike? You live about 12? Okay. 11 others better than him. Well, everybody's a winner in my book, not on my team. I wish I had time to preach that, but I'm going to leave that alone. Friends, the winners are those who walk according to the light. Those are the ones that God is going to say, come on in. Why? Because God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. Let's work on that. Let's be a people that when the day of judgment comes, when Jesus Christ is sent back from the Father, friends, we want to see all of us. We want to see all of us there. Because the opposite is total darkness throughout eternity. And that's not where we want to be. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Why? Because Jesus is light. John 8 verse 12, I am the light of the world. Repent of your sins. Why should you repent of anything? Because sin is darkness. Men's deeds are evil. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Why should I confess Jesus Christ to be Lord? Because he's light. Why should I be baptized? Because when I'm baptized into the blood. Where I have my conscience cleansed from dead darkness, dead works, to serve the living light, God. Fellowship. Live faithful, even to the point of death, and God will give you the crown of life. But maybe a child of God and you haven't been walking in the light. You know what, friends? The hardest person to keep straight is you. Sometimes I can't stand me. Why? I'm my biggest enemy. Boy, what are you thinking about? Are you stupid? And I'm just telling you how I talk to myself. I ain't calling none of y'all stupid. I'm telling you what I say to, are you stupid? Are you stupid? Do you know where that's going to lead you? I'm just telling you what I tell myself. And then what I do, Estes, I get myself back on track. Because it's scary out there away from God. So we stay with God. We stay where everything is exposed. Because if we walk in the darkness, eventually the light is going to expose it. And you're going to be made to look like a fool. So we stay in the light where the safety is. We stay in the light where all the spiritual blessings are. We stay in the light because that's where the life is. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.